Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, welcome to Revitalize and Replant. I am Mark Clifton, and Dan Hurst, man, you heard him on the intro. He's not with us physically today. He's out doing some special projects just for us.
Sure he is.
I don't know what he's doing. He's busy.
He's busy.
He has a real job.
That's
He'll
right.
be back, I promise. I'm here with Mark Halleck at his church in Inglewood, Colorado, and we're in Mark's studio. And, you know, you all think that, you know, a guy like Mark Halleck, he never has any problem. He's pastor of this big church. Nothing ever goes wrong.
Listen,
talk to us about what happened to this studio,
well, listen,
man.
Yeah, it's funny. You're being generous by calling it a studio.
Well, it's a basement room.
It's basically an old basement room closet. But here's the deal. Like, our very first episode of this podcast, we did in this room.
We did.
And we did
way
it,
back
and
in
if
the
you remember, way back in the day.
Way back in the 1960s,
That's right. And you were sitting on the white couch,
the grubbiest, nastiest white couch. In fact, it was so bad that when I went home, my wife burned my clothes.
It was bad.
That's how bad this couch was.
So this summer, here's what happened.
Yes.
These little windows here, well, we had a flood, and it flooded this whole room into the next room. Thankfully, it didn't ruin all the sound equipment, but it did ruin a lot of it. But the old white couch, that's what did it in.
And now I've got this.
So now we got this. You're sitting on this beautiful, soft couch.
I am.
How's it feeling, by
the way? It feels great. And the little sticker here from Goodwill for $29.99.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's pretty good.
Listen,
good price.
We don't spend a lot of money around here.
I know you don't, man.
But pretty simple. Very unimpressive.
But seriously, he came in here, he and his guys, and there had been a terrible storm and blew out the windows.
Yep.
And their recording studio was flooded. Hey, man.
But you know what? We'll do what we got to do.
But
man,
we don't complain, do
That's
we?
Right. We don't complain.
That's what we're talking about today.
Great
oh, see how we did that?
Great
right
in.
There. You didn't even expect it, did you? This is part two of how we can create a culture where we no longer complain. And listen, this is not a lighthearted issue. This is serious stuff.
Yeah.
As a pastor, you do not want to be a complainer.
Mm.
And you do not want your church to be a place where people complain. It will not be a place where God will be glorified,
yep.
The gospel is made much of, people are attracted to.
Yep.
It'll be the same place like you have down at your school and down at your work and on TV. People complain. We said last week that really complaining and fussing and arguing and all of that is nothing more than a sign of our fallen,
That's
sinful
right.
nature.
That's exactly right.
So talk to
That's
us
right.
about last week.
Well, yeah, let's review. So
Go
basically,
it.
There's it's a 12-point cure for complaining, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at the first six last week. Let me just review those. Number one, God commands me never to complain. Number two, God commands me to give thanks in every circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, God commands me to rejoice always and especially in times of trial.
Right.
Number four, I always deserve, and this is so important, I always deserve much worse than what I am suffering now. In fact, I deserve hell.
Right.
Number five, in light of the eternal happiness and glory that I will experience in heaven, this present trial is extremely brief and insignificant, even if it were to last a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That's number five. And then our last one that we looked at last time was number six. My suffering is far less than that which Christ suffered, and he did not complain. And then that leads us to number seven.
And guys, we're going to put all of these in the show notes
for this
week and for last week. And each of those Mark just read have scripture references that just bring that
home.
Absolutely. And we said last week, you may want to take 1 week or 1 month in this coming year. There are 12 of them. Take 1 month. Every month this coming year, and say this month we're going to focus on each one of these every Sunday morning. Put the scripture in your bulletin and start working first in your own life to create a culture as a pastor where I'm not
Amen.
A complainer,
yes.
and your church is not a complaining
That's
church.
So good.
All
That's
right?
exactly right.
Number seven.
Okay, number seven is this: to complain is to say God is not just.
Oh man.
Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Just let that set on you for a while.
Yeah.
You know, we just came through Christmas, and I preached a series on Isaiah chapter 4. The child shall be born, a son shall be given, a child born, and his name shall be called. The first thing is Wonderful Counselor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And maybe another way you could say that perhaps better is one who gives wonderful counsel, wise counsel. The counsel that he gives is not the counsel of men. It's perfect.
Yes.
It's always perfect.
Amen. Yeah.
Every decision he makes is perfect. And we believe so as Christians that he knows what he's doing in our life, and everything that happens to us, as the Apostle Paul says, it's not all good, but it all works together for our good. So when we complain, we're just saying God's not just. Yeah. He's not. Man, he's not just. So he's not making the right choices.
That's so true.
And again, just one more time, Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yeah. Pastor, I mean, when we complain about stuff, we're basically saying, you know, God's just not, he's not making good counsel here.
And we're also saying, and I could counsel better.
Exactly.
We're putting ourselves in God's place, which is an incredible offense to God, but it's also, you're living in la-la land, man. This is where I think the doctrine of God's sovereignty and kind providence is so important, that he is the righteous judge and he always does what is right.
Right.
His wisdom, as you said, is perfect. He is our wonderful counselor.
And we talked last week about how complaining becomes part of our DNA. We just complain about the traffic. We complain about the budgets. We complain about the income. We complain about the government. We complain about the food. We complain about the service at the restaurant. I mean, I'm so guilty of all of that without thinking that perhaps that person that's serving me right now, maybe they just found out that their spouse or their child has cancer, or maybe they're going through one of the most difficult divorces and they just found out someone was terribly unfaithful to them, and they and I'm upset because they're not bringing me my Diet Coke quick enough.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to be, I'll never forget, dude. I was a college student, and there was a big Baptist church in the town where my college was. And I was pastoring this little tiny new church plant. It had about, I don't know, two people in it. And it was small. We met above a Kirby vacuum cleaner store. And anyway, but this big mega church, well, it was a mega church. It was the largest church in the county, right? And the pastor was Dr. So-and-so, all right? I'm not going to tell you his name. He's dead, but people knew he was. So I'm in Radio Shack, all right? We spent a lot of time in Radio Shack in college, right? I was trying to buy every kind of...
It's a great hangout.
It was a great hangout place, but all kinds of equipment. And here is Dr. So-and-so, and he has these speakers he bought, and he throws them on the counter, and he just gives that poor guy the riot act about how these are not working. This is the second time he's been in here, and he just went off on and on and on. And man, it's just, my heart was crushed because I looked up to this pastor.
Yeah.
And I saw how he treated this guy complaining about speakers.
Right.
And I've never forgotten that. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't done the same thing at times.
True.
But man, as soon as I start finding myself doing it, I realize people are listening. People are watching. And what does that say about me?
That's right.
And believe me, that doctor pastor, he didn't even think about doing that.
See, that's it.
It was just innate in him because that had become who he was.
Yes.
And guys, we don't drift toward holiness. If you tend to complain, you have to battle that.
Yeah.
You tend to look at pornography, you got to battle that.
Yep.
If you tend to gossip, you got to battle that.
Yeah.
You tend to complain, you got to battle that.
I think what's so scary, that's such a good point, is I think a lot of complainers don't even realize that that's how they come off to people.
They don't.
And this is where it begins with humbling yourself before the Lord and praying David's prayer, Lord, search me.
Right.
See if there's any wicked way in me, Lord. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that gal, that pastor, that leader who people are looking at going, man, what a complainer.
I know.
And I'm not even aware of it. And so we need to humble ourselves before the Lord in that way. Let's go to number eight. Number eight is this: faith and prayer exclude complaining.
Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going to happen to me tomorrow, today, the Lord will be with me. He'll deliver me. Ultimately, he's got me in his care. Yeah. What do I have to really complain
about? It's so
true.
It's so true. He's so good.
He is so good.
The Lord is so good.
And if we will just be aware of that and live that out, it doesn't mean you're not going to have financial problems. Yep. It doesn't mean you're not going to get in a car wreck. It doesn't mean you're not going to have children who might become reprobate and really disappoint you. I'm not trying to say that you put on a happy face and pretend things don't happen, but you don't complain about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a trust in God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
And you know that everything that happens is for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I was speaking at a conference, and my kids were in college. My boys were in college. And so it's 3:00 in the morning, and my phone goes off over on the dresser. And back in those days, I had a ringtone for each son, you know, back when you put songs on your, yeah. And so one of my sons, the ringtone was Sanford and Son, all right? So when that started playing, I knew it was my son Trenton, yeah. And he was at K-State. So it's 3 o'clock in the morning and it goes off, right? And I'm in a hotel. I don't know where the hotel, you know, I kind of wake up half awake. And all I know is that's my son calling from college at 3 a.m. Dude, your son's not going to call you from college at 3 a.m. to tell you he loves you and he's got good grades, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So your heart goes up in your throat. Oh, is it a car wreck? Is he in jail? I mean, what in the world's going on? So I reach around. I finally grab the phone and I go, yes, what? And he says, Dad, yes, what? And he said, I got a question to ask you. Yes, what? He said, how long does hamburger stay good in the fridge? I was serious.
No way.
I was so upset. I said, dude, it never goes bad. Go ahead and eat it. You don't even need to really cook it. And I hung up the phone. But I got to thinking, let's say that it wasn't that stupid question he asked. Let's say it was the highway patrol or it was the hospital.
Yeah.
They said, your son's been in an accident and he's going to have a kidney transplant or he's going to die and it's going to have to be you. You know, what would I have said? Would I have said, well, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to take that long drive to Kansas City. I don't like hospitals. I don't like the pain. Of course not. Yeah. I would have said, I'll be there immediately.
Yes.
And you don't even have to put anesthetic under me. And if you got to take both of my kidneys, take them. I don't care if I spend my life on dialysis. I want my son to live.
Yeah.
Why? Because the pain would have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for us to realize, children of God, every time there's pain in our life, there really is some purpose for it.
That's right.
And so we don't complain about it because God has a purpose for everything in my life. And he's using that to work things out in my life and to make me more like him.
That's right. That's right. And that leads us into number 9, that this difficulty is being used by God for my good.
Yes.
And it's foolish for me to complain against.
That's right. Because Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things work together for good to the love of God and called according to his purpose, which is exactly what I said.
That's exactly right.
Number 10.
Yes. Number 10. Those more faithful than I have suffered far worse than I and did so without complaint.
Oh, say that again.
Oh my gosh. Those more faithful than I.
Bonhoeffer.
That's right. Have suffered far worse than I and did so without complaint.
I know.
And isn't they've listed here, maybe you could read this, Hebrews 11,
35
to 39.
Here we go. And others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went out in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in the deserts and the mountains and the caves and the holes in the ground, all these having gained approval through their faith. Hebrews 11, 35 to 39. I mean, the men and women who have suffered so greatly for the cause of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are living in 21st century America, and we get upset because somebody says something mean to us at church, or my car transmission goes out, or, you know.
You ever just think, man, we are just wimps.
I mean, why does God, I mean.
We just are.
God is the most gracious God, or he'd just get rid of all of us, right?
I know. So kind. So kind.
Listen, you go by and read Hebrews 11, 35, 39 every day and realize you've not been stoned or sawn in two or any of those kinds of things, put to death by the sword. And listen, it's not that rare. There are men and women all around the globe today who are suffering mightily for the gospel.
Yeah.
And here we are being paid to be pastors, right?
Yeah. No, I know. It's incredible.
All right.
And faith, and the faith is the key there. Their faith was in the Lord. Their faith
That's right.
was in the goodness of God.
That's right.
And it's our faith, as we grow in faith, that will put to death that complaining spirit. Number 11 is complaining denies that God's grace is entirely sufficient.
Oh, man. We say this all the time. Pastors, you quoted it so many times, 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, is it?
Yeah.
The proof isn't it that you say it. The proof is that you and I live it.
Amen. That's
and,
right. That's
you know, it is so much easier to say those things and quote those things than to live those things. But, you know, Mark, I've had some really life-crushing experiences in my life that most people don't know about. And you've had some incredibly life-crushing experiences that many people do know about.
Yeah.
None of us want to go through those.
Right.
But when you come out on the other side, this verse means something entirely different.
Totally.
Talk about that.
Man, that is so true. Well, it's easy to quote. I mean, listen, until you've been to the point of absolute desperation.
Right.
Where in the midst of pain, suffering, whatever it might be, like Jesus is all you've got.
That's right.
There's something about that pit where God proves his faithfulness to you, just as his word promises that my grace is sufficient for you. My strength has been perfect in weakness. There's something in that pit that brings perspective for the rest of your life.
I remember a specific time when everything I was crushed. And I went out and I sat in the dark and I wept and I cried and I was just crushed. And at that moment, I realized either everything I have preached and taught up to this point in my life is true or it's not. And I'm going to find out in the next hour. And I'm not telling you the pain was easy or light, but I'm going to tell you, I found out in the next hour, it was everything I had preached was true, that his grace was sufficient. And I'll never forget that moment. And I know from that whatever I have to face in the future, his grace will be sufficient.
That's right.
And man, there's nothing to take place of that.
And right now, there's probably listeners that are feeling they're in that place.
Absolutely.
And they need to be reminded that this is true. Brother, sister, this is true. That the grace of the Lord is sufficient for you. His strength is made perfect in your weakness right
and
now.
Our friend Frank Lewis reminds us that basically when you get up to preach Sunday morning, statistically, everybody you preach to, their life will be impacted by cancer or addiction before they die.
Mm.
People are hurting that you're preaching to on Sunday morning. Yeah. You still preach with hope and joy, but you preach understanding that they are hurting.
That's right.
And helping them understand that God's grace is sufficient for every pain you will have.
Amen. Amen.
All right, number 12, the last
one. Okay, here it is, the last one. The greatest suffering, the worst trial or difficulty can never rob me of that which is of greatest value to me and my greatest joy, namely the love of Christ.
And of course, nothing better than Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we were killed all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Mark Halleck,
yes, amen.
That neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height,
come on,
nor depth, nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Romans 8:35-39. Brothers, live that out. Model that for your congregation. Lead them to live that, and your church will be transformed. Mm. This will do more. I believe, brother, these two episodes on stopping complaining in your church and in your life is one of the best foundations you can lay for church revitalization.
Amen. Absolutely.
Hey, this was written by Daryl Wingard. We're grateful for him. He wrote it 22 years ago. It's good stuff.
It's just gold, man.
And we're going to put it on the show notes.
Yes.
And we're glad to share it with you. Hey, if you need anything from us, man, you can email us at replant@namb.net, namb.net. Any questions you have, certainly subscribe to our podcast and check us out at churchreplanters.com. We love you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.